Escaping architecture school with your life was just the beginning. The profession is deadlier than you think. I'm Tennille, and this is Death by Architecture. Welcome to Death by Architecture, a podcast about true crime in the architectural, engineering, and construction community. Each episode, I will bring you a story about a crime committed in the AEC world. Welcome to Women in Construction Week. In today's episode of Death by Architecture, I'll cover a carpenter's apprentice from California who was brutally bludgeoned to death by one of her co-workers. In honor of Women in Construction Week, this episode is dedicated to the memory of Udi Hicks. It was Valentine's Day, and single mother of three, Udi Hicks, couldn't be more excited. After work, she would head off to a family date accompanied by her sons and her favorite aunt. But she had no idea that she would never make it out of her shift alive. So let me tell you about Udi Hicks. As a 32-year-old African-American woman living in Fresno, California, Udi Hicks didn't have an easy life. She had been through some rough patches, including a short stint in prison. However, everything seemed to be looking up for her. In 2016, she managed to snag a coveted apprenticeship in the Carpenters Union, despite having no prior experience in construction work. She seemed to have found her passion, with her social media pages filled with photos of her enjoying work. For instance, a picture published in June of that year showed Udi with a wide smile on her face while wearing a fluorescent yellow vest with safety glasses on top of her head. It was accompanied by a caption, quote, "At work, first job out here, started from the bottom, now I'm here," end quote. She was also well regarded by the rest of her coworkers, who perceived her as dependable and always willing to learn. Even Scott Lewis, the district coordinator for the apprenticeship program, had nothing but good things to say about her. Udi always pushed herself in a bid to give her three young sons a better life. Her children spurred her to go above and beyond in her work. In a span of 9 months, she managed to earn every certification she could, and none of her colleagues came close to matching her dedication. Udi rode her bike miles to and from work, and even her supervisors praised her commitment to her craft as a carpenter. But unfortunately, Udi's dreams of becoming a legitimate carpenter and building an incredible future for her sons would never come to be. On February 14, 2017, Udi was busy working at the Rio Bravo cogeneration plant in Malaga, which is a few miles southeast of downtown Fresno. At the site, she was responsible for removing scaffolding, a tedious and time-consuming job that she nevertheless carried out with enthusiasm. She was looking forward to the end of her shift, though. Udi had made plans with her aunt and her kids to go on a family date to celebrate Valentine's Day. What she didn't know was that they would be waiting for her at home, the living room decked out with balloons, candies, and flowers to surprise her. But while working on the site, Udi got into a disagreement with her supervisor, a 28-year-old man named Aaron Lopez. The two had never seen eye to eye on things. Aaron was a non-union worker, which meant that his job was precarious and rather unstable compared to Udi's position as a union apprentice. This disparity in their roles reportedly angered him. Because of their history, no one on the site paid much attention to Udi and Aaron when they started disagreeing with each other. But when the commotion became too loud to ignore, they finally rushed over, only to see Aaron furiously hitting Udi over and over again with a metal pipe. They quickly pulled Aaron off and began to administer CPR in hopes of saving Udi's life, but they had arrived too late. Later, it emerged that Udi had been walking away from Aaron when he hit her on the back of her head with the pipe. It was also said that this first blow instantly killed her. However, Aaron continued his brutal assault on her body until the rest of his co-workers were able to intervene. Given the number of eyewitnesses, Aaron was swiftly arrested by the police officers who arrived on the scene. Many of them found it strange that he hadn't tried to run away. In fact, Aaron was found sitting in his truck, which was parked near the construction site. The nature of the crime puzzled investigators, who couldn't fathom how Aaron had gone from supervisor disagreeing with a coworker to a full-blown murderer. Their confusion was exacerbated by the lack of information regarding the disagreement. Due to the nature of the site, none of the coworkers had been close enough to hear what Udi and Aaron had been fighting about minutes before she was tragically bludgeoned to death. During the first few days of the investigation, the authorities focused on figuring out what exactly happened during the disagreement. I'm pretty sure I could have helped you there just by summing it up saying he was a piece of shit. But anyway, to better understand it, they sent out a plea for information from the Fresno County Sheriff's Public Information Office, saying that, quote, "We want to learn more about his behaviors. Anybody who has had an encounter with him that could help us clear up the picture of what happened yesterday, then we can understand his temperaments and see if he had any erratic behavior," end quote. Unfortunately, they were never able to identify what Aaron had been motivated by. This absence of a clear motivation became the crux of the argument put forward by Aaron's defense team during his trial in February of 2018. He pleaded not guilty to the first-degree murder by reason of insanity, with his lawyer, Gerald Schwab, claiming that his deep-seated and challenging issues were to blame for his actions. He also argued that doctors found that Aaron had been dealing with schizophrenia his entire life, further diagnosing him with post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as two other mental health disorders. This diagnosis was corroborated by medication that Aaron was prescribed while he was in jail awaiting trial. More importantly, the fact that he was seeing a therapist in prison was said to be proof that he murdered Udi because of his mental illness. Gerald, his attorney, further pointed to the lifetime of abuse Aaron had suffered. When he was 5, he had witnessed his younger sister being beaten to death by his mother's boyfriend, a crime that landed both his mother and the boyfriend in prison. Afterwards, Aaron spent the rest of his childhood in foster care, where he was a victim of abuse. For Gerald, this explained why Aaron exhibited that much violence towards Udi. However, it never justified nor excused it. What his past did do, though, was show that his murder wasn't premeditated, that it was a product of his mental illness, which had rendered Aaron unable to fully grasp the nature of what he was doing. But the following year, in 2019, Aaron switched gears and pled no contest to the second-degree murder charge, which came as a part of a deal with the prosecution, who offered to reduce his charge from first-degree murder as long as he pled guilty. He was ultimately sentenced to 16 years to life in prison with no possibility of probation. Had he been convicted of first-degree murder, he could have served 25 years to life. After his sentence was handed out, Aaron attempted to reach out and apologize to Udi's family, saying that he took full responsibility for his actions and that he hoped one day that they would be able to forgive him. But the Hicks family has refused to forgive him, mostly because they were unable to understand why Aaron never gave a clear reason to why he killed Udi. In court, Udi's aunt, Desiree Johnson, even responded to Aaron's plea for forgiveness, saying that, quote, "Because every time I have come to court and looked at your face, there was no remorse, there was no sadness, there was nothing for my family but disrespect," end quote. Udi's murder set off a wave of discourse on a wide variety of topics, including gender-based violence experienced by women in the construction industry, as well as workplace harassment and aggression. Construction tradeswomen like myself across the country have used Udi and her death as a powerful symbol of our fight against gender-based violence and harassment that we often experience on job sites. For instance, during the 2017 Women Build Nations Conference, a presentation titled "We Are Udi Hicks in Workplace Violence Now" drew hundreds of viewers. During the program, the Chicago Women in Trades Diversity and Inclusion Committee paid tribute to Udi by passing around a rendition of her, upon which women in the audience wrote statements like, "We are Udi Hicks." But for Udi's family, she isn't a mere symbol of gender-based violence. Her mother attended every single one of Aaron's court hearings, determined to see Udi's killer be brought to justice. But in the end, even his harsh sentence failed to bring her comfort. Udi Hicks was a mother, a daughter, a niece, and a sister, someone who they deeply loved and never thought they would lose. A recent ENR, an architectural record survey, showed that the pattern of harassment continues in the industry, both on-site and in the office. The anonymous online survey sought information on the prevalence and type of sexual harassment and gender bias and how the incidents were handled and resolved. When asked if the respondents had personally experienced sexual harassment, over 36% said that they had experienced it on a construction site. A similar percentage said they had experienced it at a construction workplace. More than 63% of respondents characterized the harassment as inappropriate personal requests, questions, jokes, or innuendos. Nearly 30% of respondents said they experienced inappropriate physical contact, and over 7% reported threats of retaliation for non-compliance to inappropriate requests. When asked how they handled the incident, nearly a third shared details informally with a colleague, while close to 20% reported the harassment to their manager. Only 1% filed an Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's claim. However, 1 in 4 said that they didn't take any action or speak about it publicly. Harassment occurs not only in the construction industry. The behavior is present in all business sectors, but the construction industry can be the leader if it takes a collective stance and stands up for harassment in all forms. It's our job. On the next episode of Death by Architecture, I will interview two powerhouses and champions for workplace change. I will be joined by Letisa Kindred and Vicky O'Leary to talk about workplace violence and what we could do to make sure we're all safe at work and that deaths like Udi Hicks don't happen again. So stay tuned to the next episode. Be safe out there, everyone. We are Udi Hicks. New episodes are released the first Tuesday of every month, so don't miss it. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you like to listen. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at Death by Architecture Pod.